This Easter, you can make a difference in people's lives around the world by giving to any of these three Easter offerings: Brazil, Haiti, and Vietnam. Let's take a closer look at what we're doing to help those in these regions. Haiti is one of the most food insecure places in the world. 2/3 of the population lacks access to adequate sanitation. Out of 10.7 million people, half are undernourished and 22% of children are chronically malnourished. In Haiti, we're feeding children. $180 will feed one child for an entire year. Despite having one of the largest economies in the world, Brazil has a massive water and sanitation crisis. There are currently 3 million people without access to safe water and 24 million without access to improved sanitation. For those who have access to safe water, the supply is lacking because of the numerous deficiencies in drinking water systems. In Brazil, we're installing water filters to provide clean water. $195 builds one water filter, and in June each year, a team is sent to help deliver these water filters along the Amazon River. 5.8% of the population is considered disabled in Vietnam. For a country home to roughly 95 million, this equates to more than 5 million people. Often, those with disabilities face circumstances that make life more difficult, such as limited access to education, fewer work opportunities, and difficulty with transportation and self-care. In Vietnam, we're giving away wheelchairs. With just $50, we can get a wheelchair to a person that really needs it. If any of these offerings interested you, please consider giving this Easter to help someone in need.
All right. So, we have spent the past 3 weeks talking about each one of these missions that we support here at the church. And next Sunday, Easter Sunday, is the day that we will take up the offering to give to those ministries, those missions. The entire offering goes to that. And we even have in the bulletins today, there's envelopes that if you'd like to take home and maybe even just pray over it, you know, who knows. Also, if you go onto our website, vineyard05.com, there's a missions tab up at the upper left. You can click on that, and you can also give that way as well online. So please be in prayer, church. I am praying that we are a blessing like beyond belief this year. A lot of these countries, for instance, we're going to Brazil in June. These countries are still dealing with COVID. Like they're a little bit behind us with all of this. They don't have the medical structure, if you will, that we do. And so it's interesting to find out, like when I talk to the missionaries down there, where they're at, like they're just starting to kind of open things up again. We went there last year and it was like that. But Vietnam, we still haven't been able to go there, somebody from this church to go there because of COVID. And then in Haiti, because of the civil unrest, Americans have not been able to be in Haiti either. But our money, church, can go there. Just because we can't physically get there right now, we can still support these people in need. Amen? So be in prayer for that. Also next Sunday, Pastor Vu from Vietnam, he is the pastor who oversees the wheelchair missions. He is now in the United States. So it's taken 10 years to try for him. He's been trying to come to the United States. It's not a problem for him getting into this country. It's a problem for him leaving Vietnam. They wouldn't let him leave. And so finally he was able to leave the communist country of Vietnam, and so he'll be here next Sunday. I'm going to meet with him over the phone Tuesday of this week, and we're going to kind of work out how he's going to be a part of the service, so I'm really looking forward to that. And again, church, please, be in prayer over how much you feel you can give, how much you feel led to give, and let's together as a church family be a blessing. Amen? Amen. All right, so today is the day that the Christian faith refers to as Palm Sunday. Like Kim stated, this is Holy Week for those who call themselves followers of Jesus. And the main topic of today's message is how we can share the hope that Easter Sunday has for each person. But the reason that this day is called Palm Sunday is because roughly 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people proclaimed him as the Messiah. They proclaimed him as the King of Israel openly. And this day had been prophesied by many times in the Old Testament, by prophets and in the Psalms, but it was the prophet Daniel who prophesied that this day would happen to the day that he said it would happen. To the day, he said, the people will proclaim the Messiah is here. And so I just want to read a little part from the Gospel of John about this day. John chapter 12. Verse 12. So the next day, so just to give you a little background here, Jesus had just, his friend Lazarus had died, was buried in a tomb, and Jesus went and raised him from the dead. And then it says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. So a lot of people had heard about what happened with Lazarus, and they want to come see this Jesus. A large crowd of Passover visitors. Now, Passover was a Jewish festival, so lots of people were in town that week. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming riding on a donkey's colt." All of this had been prophesied hundreds of years before this. And this entire chapter, John chapter 12, I read it last week, and I would encourage you, church, to read it this week. Even after what we just read, is amazing. It's just, it's phenomenal, the things that happened. For instance, Jesus was talking to a crowd of people, and he talked in stories, he talked in parables, but he was telling them that he was going to die. But nothing could happen unless he died, like he was going to come back to life. He basically told them, he used an analogy of a seed. And then God spoke from heaven to the people. Some people thought it was thunder. Some people heard it. They didn't know what was going on. So I would encourage you, read John chapter 12 this week and just meditate on that as we head into Monday, Thursday, which is what we call Thursday, and then Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And just think about what Jesus has done for you. And again, so today, you know, roughly 2,000 years ago, they hailed him as the King of Israel. And then, 4 days later, on Thursday, one of his own disciples, Judas, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver to the religious leaders because they hated Jesus. So Thursday, Jesus was arrested, held on trial all night long with the religious leaders, and then they hand him over to the Roman emperor, Pontius Pilate. They wanted to wash their hands of this. Here, you do it. Pontius Pilate wasn't too comfortable about this. He wanted to wash his hands of it. So on Good Friday, you know, every year at this time, he would release a prisoner just to kind of keep the Jewish people happy, and everybody was happy, the Romans, the Jews. And so he had a criminal up there, and he had Jesus. Barabbas was the criminal. And everybody yelled, "Release him, release him." And for Jesus, "Crucify him, crucify him." But 5 days earlier, the crowd was saying, "Praise be to God, the King of Israel." So my thought-provoking thing for this is, whose voice are you listening to in life? Yes. Whose voice do you listen to? Do you listen to the crowd? Do you listen to all those around you and just go with the flow? Because by reading this story, that can change. And you can find yourself in a position where you didn't actually realize you were going to be in. Or do you listen to your conscience? I'm a good person. I do good things. I gave to the Easter offering. I'm a good person. I believe some of the Bible. But your conscience can trick you into thinking you're doing what is the right thing, because let's face it, we can always justify what we want to do. Or do you listen to Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit, because that's the voice that will never change and will never lead us astray. So that's my thought-provoking, my little meditations from this week that I got out of this story of Palm Sunday. And then when it comes to Jesus, out of all the spiritual teachings, religious writings, philosophers, everybody out there, people of faith, things that have been started, people who had followers, Jesus is the only one who fulfilled every single prophecy spoken about him. He's the only one. He is also the only one who has risen from the dead. The only one. He is the only one who can provide us the hope that we need to get through life. And he is the only one who can provide for us eternal life in heaven. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father except through me." You can't get to heaven if you don't have faith in Jesus. That's a non-negotiable. And Jesus is the only one that can provide that for us. I mean, have you ever wondered why the name of Jesus is so polarizing? The name of Jesus will cause arguments at the Thanksgiving dinner table, won't it, with your family? The name of Jesus will cause friend groups to split up and argue and walk away from each other. You know why he's so polarizing? Because he has an enemy that roams this earth by the name of Satan, who wants nothing. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking to kill and destroy all those who put their faith in Jesus. And so his sole purpose in life is to keep people from establishing their trust in Jesus and from seeking out Jesus. That's what his sole purpose is, and he's got an army of demons to help him with that. But this is the season, right now, that we are in. This is the time of year that many people go to church. In America, almost everybody comes to church on Easter Sunday because it just seems to be the right time to go to church. And I'm fine with that. If people are here that don't normally go to church, I'm going to do my best, and I'm praying that people who don't normally go to church are here and they sense the presence of God. They sense the Holy Spirit calling them into a relationship with him. Because it is by divine appointment that we find ourselves sitting in a church service. And this is the time of year that we, as followers of Jesus, need to carry out our responsibility. We should be doing it all year long. But this is the time where we should carry out our responsibility to share the hope that we have in Jesus with others. This is that one time. Often in America you can always bribe somebody with a meal, right? If you come to church with me, we'll go out to eat afterwards. I mean, but let's face it. And I am talking to myself here today. I'm going to preach to myself today. Sometimes it's really hard to share our faith. And sometimes we think we're just not that good at it. We always compare ourselves to somebody else. We always look at the other person who we think is better than us at this, you know? I was thinking of this story one time. I'm having lunch years ago with this pastor friend of mine. And I always try to have lunch with pastors who are where I want to be so I can learn from them. And so we met at this place. It was like one of those brewery places. I don't drink, so I didn't have any. So I was there for the burgers, okay? But that's where we were at, okay? So two pastors, and so we're having lunch and everything, and the server, and then lunch is wrapping up, and the server brings the bill, and this guy, he says, "Hey, so we're pastors, and we just wanted to know," and I was like, "We wanted to know, what did we want to do?" But he says, "We wanted to know if there's anything that we could pray for you about." And I was like, gosh, man. And so, get this. So the lady, she starts kind of almost crying. And she says, "Yeah, there is." She says, I have to go to trial next week for a DUI that I got, and I could use some prayer for that. And so here's the thing, church. Well, first of all, I walked away like, gosh, what kind of a pastor am I, huh? Jeez. But you know what? The Holy Spirit met this lady where she was at. I don't know the outcome of what happened. I don't even know why she was, you know, I don't know anything. All I know is that she knew that somebody loved her enough to care to ask if she needed prayer. And that wasn't two guys sitting in a seat having lunch. That was the Holy Spirit that touched her heart. So who knows? She could be serving in a church right now for all I know. But I just walked away from that thinking, man, where's my boldness? You know, like it just got me to thinking. And so, you know, I'm still not like that courageous, but I'll tell you something that I have decided that I will do is I really try not to say, I'll pray for that. If somebody is talking, I'll pray for that. I will stop what I'm doing and I will say a prayer for that person. Yes. Because that little prayer could mean the whole world to them. You don't know. And you don't know what kind of space is there for the Holy Spirit to get into their hearts. So just a story about me. But listen, when it comes to sharing our faith, oftentimes, I think you could agree with me, aren't we always afraid of the person's reaction? And really, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to upset them. Or maybe we just get really, really nervous. Or again, we put this pressure on ourselves that we need to know all this scripture. When we lose our confidence. So how do we get better at it? How do we get better at sharing our faith? What is the key to sharing the hope that we have in Jesus? Well, the best way to do this is start reading the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Gospels. And before you start each one, ask Jesus to help you see how he went about sharing the kingdom of God with people. And I'm telling you, church, if you are sincere and honest about this with him, he's gonna highlight things to you, and you're going to be like, I never saw that before. That is so neat. Because what you'll see is, you'll see how he created space to share the kingdom of God with people by a little conversation. And then the next thing, this is probably a little bit more important than that, is keep doing it. Don't get afraid to share Jesus with somebody. Don't be worried about offending somebody or you know, upsetting them. And don't be afraid of them saying, I don't want to hear that. Because you know what? Maybe they did. And so, you know, here's the other thing too. We may not get the reaction or the results that we're looking for, but never underestimate the power of the words used when sharing the hope that can be found in Jesus. You never know when a person walks away from you and you tell them something about Jesus, how much that is rolling around in their heads when they leave the conversation or when they're laying in bed at nighttime. You never know. So Jesus, he shared the kingdom of God with anyone. Sometimes he challenged people. Sometimes he was a little abrasive with people. And sometimes he just loved them. But studying how he went about this can be very helpful for us. For instance, I believe he kept an open ear and an open heart to who the Holy Spirit was highlighting to him. Like he heard, and the Holy Spirit said, this is the person right here. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer, private prayer, talking to the Father. And I believe in that prayer, maybe his day was mapped out. Maybe God said, hey, this is gonna happen. Pay attention when you get to this part of the day. Or maybe not. Maybe he was just talking to God, but in that communion, he was more open and able to hear the voice of God when those moments came about. See, Jesus had a genuine love for people. And that's one of the characteristics that we too need to have for people. a genuine love for them. You know that saying? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Like, I may know this front and back, but if I don't have a genuine love in my heart for people, does it really matter how much of this I know? You know, and here's another little key to this. It doesn't matter how much of this you can recite. Your testimony is the one thing that you will never question or say, I think I'm going to mess that up, because it's your story. And that has more power in it than anything, because that is the one thing that the devil can't trip you up on. So one of the other biggest obstacles that comes to when sharing our faith is barriers. All right, we have these things that keep us from sharing our faith. For instance, mental barriers. We get messed up in the head. Or maybe emotional barriers, like I just get nervous, or maybe I get so excited I start crying, and then I just embarrass myself. But it's the love of God that makes you like that. Or how about this for a big one? Cultural barriers. Can I say this to this person? I'm not too sure where I'm at with that. And for me, like, I'm an observer and I'm a listener. And if I'm with somebody who culturally doesn't share the same faith or religion as I do, I'm just going to listen. And if the opportunity presents itself, for instance, if a question is asked, that tells me the door is open. But it's also true that when we want to share our faith, it doesn't often happen automatically. There are some people who it does happen automatically too. Those are people who have the gift of evangelism. One person in this room I know who has the gift of evangelism is Roxana Diani. She'll share the gospel with anybody. Like, I've hung out, you know, and have been like, oh my. She goes after him. But that's the way we got to be sometimes, church. But it has to be a choice. And we often have something we must overcome in order to get to where we want to be in the conversation. So we're going to look at a story that involves Jesus. And many of you may know this story. But oftentimes this story highlights the other person in the story, but we're going to look at the perspective from Jesus. And I think this might be a little eye-opening, because Jesus had some barriers he had to overcome when presenting the kingdom of God to this person. So we're going to be in the Gospel of John chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. So prior to this, in verse 3, is when a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, because he sneaks over there and he says, hey, basically, like, what is this salvation thing about? Like, can you tell me what you've been teaching? And Jesus just wrecks his world, because his whole theology was rocked. And then after that is John the Baptist, who is Jesus' cousin, and John paved the way for Jesus. He baptized people in the name of God with a way of repentance, like repent and be ready, because another one is coming. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they didn't like John, because he would call them out on things, and he was a crazy guy anyways, and so he rubbed them the wrong way, but he was on fire. He was a repent and believe guy. So John chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus knew the Pharisees, the religious leaders, had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so in parentheses it says, though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time, because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" So let's just stop right there for a minute, because this is a fantastic story. Like I said, there's many of us know this story, and we focus on the woman. There's been a lot of sermons on this story. But first of all, look at verse 9. "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan." Right off the bat, we can see that there is a cultural barrier that Jesus has to get past in order to create the space to share the kingdom of God. Because the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. Like so much, they didn't talk to each other. Like there was racial tension between the two. Like you wouldn't be seen talking to somebody in the other people group. And then also, as part of this cultural barrier, which we'll see later on, he's a male and she's a female. We'll see later on in the story, the disciples, when they came back, they were shocked to see Jesus speaking with a lady. So there must have been something going on there. But here's Jesus, all by himself, by this well, and along comes this lady. The other thing, too, is that we need to know is that noontime was not the time that you went to draw water from the well. That's the heat of the day. It usually went early in the morning. So how about this one for a barrier? Verse 6 says that he was tired and weary from traveling. And then verse 1 says that the religious leaders were kind of upset because they had heard that he had been baptizing more people than John the Baptist. So they're like, what's up with this guy? And this is in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. So that tells me that this is early on in his ministry. And all of a sudden, he's causing friction and tension with people. So is it possible that according to verse 6 and verse 1, there's another barrier, a human barrier, that Jesus had a lot on his mind with the jealousy of the religious leaders? And is it possible that he was tired and he just wanted to sit and rest for a bit? Like, he's tired. And maybe he didn't want to think at all. You know, he's thinking about the religious leaders, how I deal with this. I'm so tired. I sent the guys into the village to get some food. And Judas, he's always shifty-eyed and watching things. I got to keep my eye on him. And Peter and Andrew are always wrestling around. And James and John, they want to be by my right and my left side. Their mom's always bugging me to give them a seat by me. And these guys are just, I need a minute by myself. You know, now this is, again, this is speculation, but this is how I think about this stuff. What I'm doing here is I'm keeping my speculation within the context of the story, but I'm asking these questions, and I think it's fair to ask these questions, especially when it's just you and Jesus reading this. But here's our reality of all of this, okay? I think and believe and possibly that everything we just talked about could be true. You know, he had a lot going on. He was tired. He's heading through a Samaritan area. And along comes this lady, a Samaritan. And maybe Jesus, maybe he was thinking, man, no idea anybody was going to be here at noon. So I picked the well. Nobody would be here. I just wanted to rest. And then who knows? Maybe the lady was like, okay, I'm coming up to the well and geez, there's another weird guy at the well again. Always someone hanging out at the well. And then now he's Jewish, you know. And I'm just speculating, so. But then Jesus senses the Holy Spirit prompting him to begin a conversation. Like if it was me, I would just be sitting there, and then if she's over here at the well, I'd probably like turn over here just so she knows I'm not creep, and I'm going to mind my own business while she gets her water. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us to make the most of every opportunity. So as believers in Jesus, we need to understand when those opportunities to share our faith arise. And we must be comfortable with who we are as followers of Jesus. And the moment we realize this, that we're comfortable with who we are, we will walk in the freedom of, this is who I am, and Jesus is who my hope is placed in. What I mean by being comfortable with who we are as followers of Jesus is that we ought not be concerned with the outcome of sharing our faith. But the fact that we're sharing it is what's most important. Like, let me give you an example of being comfortable with who I am in Jesus. I used to dread ministry time at church as a pastor. The salvation, anybody here want to put their trust in Jesus? I would dread that. Like, people don't always raise their hands, and you want to see everybody raise their hands. I want to see anybody respond to that word of knowledge that we have, and you're the only one up here. And everybody is looking at you. But then this switch happened, this spiritual something inside of me. You know what, Chip? It's not about you. If you would get out of the way, don't worry about raising hands, not raising hands, how many people respond, how many people don't respond. If you give the invitation, people will respond. And if they don't worry about it. Somebody is leaving here thinking about it. And so that's what I mean by being comfortable with who you are. You might have a coworker that you're like, I can't do this with this person. Well, just get past that and share that. You know, we don't have the packet of cards in here, but we got cards where you can just invite. Hey, listen, I know you don't really go to church, but if you just, I just give you an invite in case you want to come to church. That's it. Oftentimes, it's our own insecurities that we have to get past in order to share our faith. And making the most of every opportunity is as simple as starting a conversation with someone, like Jesus did. Maybe he was like, oh, great, I just wanted to. And then the Holy Spirit asked her for a drink of water. Or maybe he had spent all night praying to the Father, and the Father said, you know, you're going to come across this well, and just wait. You know, maybe Jesus was like, okay, this is what we were talking about. Here it is. I don't know. Could have been both. The lady was surprised that the Jewish man would ask her. She says, why are you asking me for a drink? Now, is it possible that she sensed something about him as well? So she's like open to some conversation. Or maybe she's being really sarcastic, like, you know. But when we initiate a conversation in this context with another person, we are also opening the door for the Holy Spirit to enter the space as well. And this is where the power of God comes to life. 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. I think that last sentence is the one that we sometimes forget about, isn't it? We do it in a judgmental and condemning way because we want to change the person we're talking to. We just point them to Jesus. That's all we do. Now, this lady wasn't necessarily asking, but I suspect and I wonder if Jesus sensed a need in her life. And this is where listening comes in at, observing comes in at. You know, I'm listening to the person, I'm observing their body language, I hear the words coming out of their mouth, but I'm actually paying more attention to the tone and the way they're saying it. And at the same time, I'm listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit that may be prompting me to press into something that they're saying. Ask a question. Ask them if they need prayer. And then Jesus, he just goes for it here. Because it's Jesus, and he's all about sharing the kingdom of God. And so here's what I think. I think Jesus was listening to the Holy Spirit in the moment. And he sensed this lady was hungry for something more in life. Thirsty. Spiritually thirsty. And in this, he senses the Holy Spirit telling him to go for it. Tell this lady who you are. Remember, this is in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. This is early in his ministry. He wasn't telling people who he was. And so he approaches the subject in a way that will get her attention by using an analogy that is very relatable. We're by a well, so he's talking about water and how we all need living water. So let's read a little bit more. Verse 10. You know, why are you asking me for a drink? She asked. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? So Jacob, from Jacob came 12 sons known as the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's some spiritual, symbolic significance to this well that she knows about as a Samaritan. Jesus replies, and then again, I wonder if maybe Jesus picked up on this, like, oh, she knows some stuff. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. So I don't know if that's like a sarcasm that's coming from her, like, oh, yeah, sure, why don't you give me some of this water then? Or if she's like, please, I could use some of this water. Eternal life, she thinks. Now he has her attention. I wonder if Jesus observed the look on her face, maybe her body language. Did he pick up on the fact that she just made a connection to something better beyond life here on earth? Eternal life? You know what Jesus is doing here? He's inviting her to church. He just gave her an invitation to the kingdom of God. See how easy it was? He didn't get preachy. He didn't get wordy. He overcame all the barriers that could have kept the conversation from taking place, and he invited her to get to know him by using an analogy that was very relatable. In our case, we would invite the person to church. Maybe give him an invite card. Maybe say something very simple about our church. Maybe tell them about the extravaganza coming up, or maybe tell them about our Easter services or something. Or maybe tell them something Jesus did for us that might help them deciding whether or not they should come to church. And that's it. We simply point them to Jesus. But then Jesus says, go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had 5 husbands. And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. Because it doesn't appear in the story, from the conversation they continue to have, that the lady felt judged or condemned by Jesus. He's bringing up her personal life, as messy as it is. And it doesn't matter if all 5 of those marriages were not her fault that they didn't work out. It doesn't matter. Because she's still got some baggage from that she's carrying with her, you know? Clearly she's not going to marry this 6th guy because, like, right? I mean, who would blame her? Or maybe some of it is her fault. We don't know. All we know is that Jesus was listening to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If this was me, I would say, does that pertain to you? Does that relate to anything? You know, and if they said, yeah, then I would press into that. This is a word of knowledge that Jesus was given about this lady. Maybe she also felt some hope because now there is finally somebody who seems to understand where she's at in life. This is the first person who's never judged me. who's never condemned me, who's never told me to fix this. So she begins to have some theological discussions with him. Like when you read this part, we're going to skip over this part, but she knows, we would say she knows some scripture. She begins to tell him about some theological differences that the Jews and the Samaritans have. And then Jesus entertains the conversation just a bit, and he says, "You're right. We worship God in spirit and truth." Instead of going down a road of debating and arguing, and the Bible says this, the Bible doesn't say that, you know, the Bible's full of contradictions and all this and that. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. Just come to church. I'm not coming now. You're a jerk. Right? Do we find ourselves in those conversations? Because everybody wants to debate the Bible. I'm not into debating the Bible. I'm into pointing people to Jesus. And that's what I think he was doing here. She starts some theological conversation. He entertains it for a bit, but then he tells her who he is. He comes right out and he tells her. We're about to see Jesus get real and honest with this lady, because he knew that this is what she needed. He could probably talk scripture with her all day long. I bet he figured that out. And I think being honest and real is the best example we can have when it comes to sharing our faith, sharing the hope that can be found in Jesus. Because he comes right out and he tells her and gives her what she's been looking for. And so before we read the final passage here, does anybody notice, I kind of touched on this, what Jesus does not do here? He did not feel the need to tell her to clean up her life. He did not feel the need to tell her all the changes that needed to be made. He just loved her and offered her the hope that she was looking for. All we need to do, church, is point people to Jesus. And in due time, the Holy Spirit will do the convicting. We're not the convictors. The Holy Spirit does the convicting. It's not our job to change people. It's our job to love them. It's our job to be there for them. It's our job to share Jesus with them so that they can experience the same hope that we have in Jesus. Everybody's on a different level. And you know what I think is the neatest thing about Jesus? Is he doesn't rush us. He stays right with us. That's kind of the missing key here, church. So let's read it, the rest of this story. We'll read it real quick. So the woman says, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus said, "I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah." Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask. See what I'm saying? They were probably getting on his nerves, and they were like, "You know what? Maybe we should better go get some food." I don't know. I just find it neat that that's in there. None of them had the nerve to ask, "What did you want with her, or why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Now, in some of my studies this week, there was a sermon where somebody said, all 12 disciples were in that village and nobody came back with them. They didn't share Jesus one bit. She goes back and the entire village comes back. How's that for the power of a testimony? So the truth is, Jesus is the beautiful disruptor who comes crashing into our lives. He's real, he's honest, and he's raw with us. He gets so real with us in a way that only he can expose all of our messiness. And instead of judging us and condemning us, he loves us and sees us through it all. bringing us hope, joy, and forgiveness, and most important, freedom in life so we can have eternity with him in heaven. This lady had a real encounter with Jesus, and her testimony was all that was needed for the entire village to come out and see who this guy is out by the well. She went through the entire village and shared her hope that she had just found in Jesus with everyone. So in closing, here's my challenge, church. Share the hope we have in Jesus with as many people as you can this week. Invite them to our Good Friday service. Invite them to our Easter Sunday service. Don't be concerned with their reaction. Don't be concerned with what they say. Give the invite. We have Easter invite cards everywhere. We have these big ones here. We have the packets of business cards out there. Pick them up. Take them all out this week. Invite everybody to church so that they too can experience the hope that we have in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for this week, Jesus, that you went through for us. You allowed things to happen this week that nobody here on this earth could ever fathom going through. And you did it so that each one of us could have a relationship with you, and that you could have a relationship with us. And I thank you for that, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that out of this message today, that there's hope bubbling inside of us, living water that will go with us outside of this building. And we can tell people the things that Jesus did for us and invite them to church. This is the week for that. Out of all the weeks, this is the week that people can experience Jesus more than ever. And so we thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.